Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Oregon Marijuana Business Conference. We are here in the lobby of the Valley River Inn in beautiful Eugene, Oregon. It's late April. The sun is peeking out, and my good friend Stephanie Bishop has stopped by the desk to talk with us. How are you doing, Stephanie?
Oh, I'm fantastic. This is the first bit of sun we have seen in the Pacific Northwest in quite a while, so I'm very excited about that.
Very excited about that. And tell folks what you're up to lately, because you're so involved in activism on the medical side here in the state of Oregon, and there's been a lot of turmoil, a lot of turnover in what's happening with our program. So give folks your perspective on that.
Well, I actually have a bit of a different perspective, because for the last 10 years I've been studying mass incarceration and how the drug war ties into the prohibition of marijuana, and how the prohibition of marijuana has been used to feed and fuel a system of mass incarceration. That what most people don't understand is a system of legal slavery in the United States. So I guess where we start is where we usually start. We go back to the beginning and explain to everybody what our private prison system is all about.
Oh, yeah.
So what most people don't know is that, you know, in the United States, we have a private corporate system of prison systems. We have a couple of corporations, Geo Group. We have Corrections Corporations of America, which, by the way, is now called CivicCorps. Okay. Doesn't that sound so much
kind of like when Blackwater changed their name to
Exe? Civil. Yeah. Yeah, and this is so civil, civic. It sounds civic.
Yes.
It sounds like it's civilized.
Right.
It should be there. Okay, so most people don't know that the United States government is contractually bound to do two things. Pay $36,000 to CivicCorps, Corrections Corporations of America, per prisoner per year, and also to guarantee a 90% occupancy rate in all the prisons. Okay, so that's the system that we have. The sinister part of the system is that we also have another company out there called Unicor. Mm-hmm. This is a company that was set up in 1934 by the United States government that allowed prisoners something to do while they were incarcerated. These were strictly military contracts. So prisoners spent their days making military equipment and sending it off to the military. It saved the government money and it kept the prisoners busy. Well, what happened was in 1995, the Prison Industries Act went into law. And what that did was opened up prison labor to the private sector.
This is during the Clinton administration.
This was during the Clinton administration. Correct. Correct. So now we have anybody can go in and utilize prison sources, prison services, prison labor for their businesses. And we as consumers can now purchase products that are manufactured in prison facilities, like clothing, solar panels. Unicor has a green section on their website. Now, there is nothing green about using prison labor to create a green product. You sucked the green out of the product when you use prison labor. And now it's gotten to the point where, you know, these farmers out there are now using prison labor instead of migrant farm workers. So here's what I'm coming to now, because what I really wanted to talk about today was what we're dealing with in the Clinton administration. Excuse me, not the Clinton, the Trump administration under Jeff Sessions.
Jeff Moe.
Okay. Yeah, we love that guy. Okay, and we all know, like, everybody's very concerned about what this means for legal regulating the recreational market and regulating this other market over here. But we really need to connect this and tie this in to everything, because this is about immigration, this is about farm workers,
yeah.
This is about all kinds of stuff. Because what's happened now, the Trump executive order in February to rescind phasing out of private prisons, what that actually meant was that Sally Yates, back in February of, August of 2016, announced that they would not...
She was the assistant attorney general.
Correct, correct. That they would not renew the contracts for 14 different prisons. So when they announced that they're phasing out the private prisons, they're not renewing these contracts for these 14 prisons. Well, the Trump executive order in February rescinded the phasing out of these private prisons. Now, what's happening is immigration is now being detained in detention facilities. So these private prisons, they're building these private prisons and they're putting illegal immigrants in them and then forcing them to work for Unicor business work contracts. So there's a lot to this system, but let's go back to what's fueling the system. The stock is where we need to look first because, you know, when Trump got elected, GEO Group stock soared. GEO Group stock soared when this executive order was signed by President Trump. You know, since Trump has been elected, their stock has been up consistently since, you know, collectively on an average of 37% since he got elected. Core Civic, the single largest investor is the Vanguard Group. Their profits have gone up substantially since Trump has been elected. So this is also fueled by the banks. The banks, you know, a lot of the stories came through that they were going to divest. Colleges were going to divest from private prisons. When that happened, what they meant was they were going to stop buying stock or owning stock in GEO Group or Core Civic, which was formerly Corrections Corporations of America. So control of 85% of the private U.S. prison market is owned by GEO Group and Civic Core Engineer. And both of these companies made large contributions to the Trump Super PAC and paid a lot of money for the inauguration. So let's go over the banks. And there's two different ways that these banks are funding mass incarceration. It's not just about owning stock. It's also about loaning money for the purpose of building new prisons and for running prisons. So the biggest offender is Wells Fargo Bank. And so most of the divestiture suits that happened with Wells Fargo Bank. Bank of America, JP Morgan Chase, BNP Paribas, SunTrust, and U.S. Bancorp are also banks that loan money directly to these companies to build private prisons and also own stock in GEO Group and Core Civic. So there's a lot going on here. You know, I'm also seeing stories out there about farm workers, and they no longer have migrant farm workers due to Trump's immigration orders. And so I feel like this is a market squeeze because they have all of these incarcerated immigrants as they're rounding them all up right now. I feel like they're going to push these farmers to then go and utilize prison labor for their farms. And that this is going to be an extension of it. So then when we come back to, you know, the regulation of marijuana and what's happening here in Oregon, what we need to look at is that, you know, if they do start coming after legitimate businesses, that once again, through the war on drugs and through, you know, the prohibition of marijuana, our business owners, the people who have built this industry, are the ones that are going to end up incarcerated and you know, thoroughly engulfed in the system from now on. So how do you get involved? There's some non-governmental organizations out there, formerly incarcerated, convicted people and families movement, incarcerated workers organizing committee. These are three organizations that are working right now to help change the laws and end mass incarceration as we know it. But The main thing is as citizens of the United States of America, we really need to decide why we incarcerate people. And is it morally responsible to allow people to profit off of the enslavement and incarceration of American citizens? I think that it's time for America as a whole to look at the system of mass incarceration, because we incarcerate more of our citizens than any other country in the world. And there's 195 registered nation states right now. So it is extremely important that we decide as a people what we're doing, because mass incarceration is destroying communities. It is hurting children when their parents get put in jail. Because society believes that these people are criminals, we are pushing them to, pushing everybody to delegate them to a lower class system. They can't get jobs, they can't get benefits from the government, and they're pretty much, you know, relegated to a life of crime, back into a system of mass incarceration, or you could join the military. Those are your two choices. So, well, we're here at the International Business Conference, and Russ has stepped away, so I'm going to close with everybody today on the marijuana agenda on this beautiful sunny day in Eugene, Oregon.